Thank you for sharing those songs. It was a blessing. I really enjoyed that last one. Stretching you a little bit, singing by memory. But there's something about that singing by memory that bring something out that I think doesn't quite come out when we're singing from a book. So, but I appreciate all those songs and the words in those songs. So I really appreciated what Brother Marcus shared this morning in the devotional there about his honesty. And it's something that's real, I think, to all of us, and we all face different things. And it's after spending the 3 weeks there in Bible school, students, everyone, I think, comes away with something different, maybe to some degree. And I guess the thing that I came away from this past year was, the thing that stood out to me, and I felt like God was speaking to me, was simply, I need to spend more time in His Word. And there was a lot of emphasis on that, and I was blessed by that, and I was convicted. That's not a habit to spend time reading the Bible every day, but how much time do I spend? How much do I invest in it? And where are the answers that we're all searching for, we're looking for? I thought what Brother Marcus shared this morning was very clear. The answers were there. The answers are in the Word of God when it comes to the real issues of worry that we face in life, in the different stages of our lives. The answers are there for everything. The answers are there when somebody comes to us and are searching for answers and want answers. Where do we go? There's no other place that we can go that we can know that the answers are there and that they're relevant and that they're real and that they'll meet the needs. And we were blessed to have Brother Harry Argo there, and he came, and I actually had printed off some papers. I was going to bring him along, but I can. he came up with four different programs to go through your Bible in different spaces of time. Some in a year, some in a couple times in a year. Some it takes a year and a half, but he has different names for his different, and he's it very much encourages journaling with that. Just writing something down every day, just something that relates to what you read. And so I'm taking that challenge, and I'd like to challenge you all with that. And I'll send you those, or I'll try to bring them along tonight, or I can send them via email or WhatsApp or whatever. You can print them off yourself. But that's thinking about that, you know, what are we searching for? You know, acceptance. Is it popularity? Is it peace? Happiness? Financial security? What do we worry about? At what cost are we searching for these things? What are we willing to give? I recently read a short biography on a man that was born in 1955, and I'm guessing, I was trying to think who would be close to the age, I may be off here, but I think Brother David would be one of those that would be close to that year, so that gives us an idea what age this man was. Still a young man, or at least at an age that, Lord willing, there are still many potential years of blessing and being blessed. This man was a professional marathon runner in his youth. After he got out of college, he got involved in managing restaurants at a young age. Kentucky Fried Chicken was one of them. And when they didn't let him do his hot wings or whatever they're called, he launched out on his own. He decided it's time to do his own thing. In 1993, he finally talked some investors into helping him get a restaurant chain started. It's known by the name, very familiar name, Texas Roadhouse, which today has over 600 locations and is a $5.8 billion company. He was the kind of man that when he took his own family to the restaurant to eat, he didn't go in there and get ahead of everybody else and get his seat. He waited along in line with everybody else for his seat. That's why I didn't get up to sing. I thought I'd better save my voice, but I don't know if it's going to save anyway. He normally took off 3 years, I'm sorry, 3 months a year, in his later part of his life anyway, to go skiing. Spent a lot of time fishing. He had a couple children and grandchildren. But you know, this man that cared so much about his employees and his business had separated from his second wife. But in his last year, he handed out this book, Book of Joy. And it goes on, and I think I've got the right book. I looked it up. I think it says Book of Joy. It goes on to say lasting happiness in a changing world. It's a book that supposedly gives a recipe for getting joy. It seemed like he was trying to find what he needed to fill that void that didn't go away when his dreams were attained. He had a stack of those books on his desk when he left this earth by his own choice in March of 2021. He left his company reeling with a sudden, unexpected departure. You know, he was born and raised in the Bible Belt. He was a very successful man in the eyes of the world. He could have anything that money could buy. But when tinnitus set in after he contracted COVID, it sent him over the edge. He went everywhere for help. He seemed to be getting help. But suddenly, without warning anybody, he was gone. He left some notes there for them to find, so they knew it was planned. But, you know, he had so much from an earthly perspective, but he died flat, broke. All alone, no one to hold his hand. And he did good things. He gave to charitable causes. He cut his own salary in 2019 pandemic so his employees could keep their salaries. He took care of his employees. That was good. But did he do that so because he knew he needed happy employees if he expected to have happy customers? That was one of his mottos. Happy employees make for happy customers. You know, good things can be done for selfish reasons. He's still a hero in the eyes of many. He was successful. And they're sad that he didn't reach out for help. They give hotline numbers to call for those that are struggling with these suicidal thoughts. He was one that was always able to handle the tough things that came his way. They thought he would do it again. And was he calling for help? And there was no one there to help him. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Start reading at verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children. I got the wrong passage here. I'm sorry, start reading at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what like I yet? Jesus saith unto him, Excuse me. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So as I read this, I wondered, how did the general population look at this young ruler? Does this apply to me today? Recently, I was talking to a rep from Anabaptist Financial, and he said, there's more money floating around among our Anabaptist circles than ever before. You know, we quickly detach ourselves from that statement, you know. That's not us. We're living in the Ozarks. Have you ever thought about the fact that these heroes or idols in today's world, those that are successful in business, successful in sports, you know, they're idolized, they're held up as heroes. They have fame, wealth. But many, when they finally figure out that these things that they thought would bring happiness are empty, that there's no fulfillment there, just like the story I gave there. He finally got to where he was trying to get to. It was to where he could live the life he wanted without, and do what he wanted. And when he finally gets there, there's no fulfillment. They turn to drugs, drink, other vices, and bring about their own destruction. You know, who do we idolize? Where are we finding our fulfillment? Years ago, I was walking through an airport, and my wife and I, and maybe one or two little ones, I don't remember. It was several years back. But as we were walking along, I saw this up ahead. I saw some attention being drawn to somebody, and he was a tall guy. Looked kind of familiar, but it took me a little bit to catch on. We came past the Wendy's restaurant, and all the employees in there came racing out with Wendy's, those yellow napkins back then anyway. I don't know what they are now. And he was obligingly putting his signature on them, and that's Michael Jordan. You know, he couldn't even walk through an airport without. You know, is that where is that what we consider attaining? Is that what we consider Are those the kind of people we idolize? Fame. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Start reading at verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Then he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What does that mean? Well, what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, Jesus made it clear to the rich young ruler what he needed to do. Is he asking any less of us? If our goal is to make a name for ourselves, to be rich, to have people running to us for our autograph, we're going to respond to Jesus just like the rich young ruler did. We'll walk away. Walk away from what? From security. From eternal security. And take that right. From peace. From joy. From all that's good. You know, are you in a state of mind to hear the Master's voice? To listen to that voice? I'd like to look at a couple people that heard that voice and see how they responded. Let's start in the Old Testament. If you turn with me to 1 Samuel 3. Just pull a few verses out of here. Starting at verse 8. 1 Samuel 3, verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So remember, this story is he had went into Eli a couple times now. And Eli told him, just to answer, here am I when the Lord calls again the next time. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. I don't know how old Samuel was at this time. A young man, you know, was he 12 or 14, 16? I don't know. But when he heard his name called, he responded. So you boys, when you get called, do you respond right now? Well, here's an example of a young man that did that. He answered right away. You know, God doesn't call most of us in this way. But if we're open and sensitive to his call, if we respond, if we don't respond to the authorities in our lives that God puts in our lives, so you young boys, girls, your parents, teachers, wherever it is, if we don't respond to those in a positive way, we're determined to take our own way. You know, you are very, in a very real way, rejecting God's call in your lives. And when he does call, it's going to make it hard to answer positively. So it's important at a young age to answer to the calls in our lives. We'll come to the New Testament in Acts chapter 9. We have another time that God called. Acts chapter 9, verses 3. Start with verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul found himself here on the ground, helpless, unable to see physically. Can you imagine just suddenly being knocked down flat and this bright light, you can't see? His sight was gone. You know, that zeal that he had, that determination to go to Damascus to persecute the Christians was suddenly looked so different. He met Christ in a real way. I don't think it changed where he went, where he was going, but it changed what he was going there to do. You know, the rich young ruler, he also met Christ. He was also told what he needed to do. But he wasn't willing to give up those dreams. He wasn't willing to give up what he had worked so hard for. You know, he kept going and kept doing what his plans were. Have you ever thought about how does he feel about that decision today if he didn't change that decision? If he didn't repent, he's still living with his decision. You know, you can choose to walk the way you want. You can choose to not heed that call. But you'll accept the consequences. You have no choice in that. Excuse me. You know, Samuel, the rich young ruler, the Apostle Paul, they're all living with their choices today. They are all very much alive wherever they are and living with those decisions. 100 years from now, less, every one of us, every one of you are going to be living with the decisions that you make today. Unless we change, if we're headed the wrong direction, we still have opportunity if we're here today to change those decisions, to repent and to turn and to follow, to heed the call. I'm going to read a few verses out of Matthew chapter 18. First six verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child. You know, are we heeding the Spirit's promptings in our lives? As little children, eagerly grasping for direction from their father, wanting to please their father, how do we know? Can we know? Our decisions affect ourselves, you, yourself, directly. You're going to live with those decisions. But beyond that, your decisions are going to affect those around you. And you can be responsible for others, God forbid, but making the wrong decision. And best thing is, you can be helpful in pointing others in the right direction and encouraging them in the right direction. So how can we know? Well, one would be, are we doing what we know is right? Just that simple. Just do the right thing. Are we doing what we know is right? Are we being honest with God? Are we honestly opening ourselves up before Him? Are we being honest with others? Are we being honest with ourselves? Are we submitting to the authorities that God placed in our lives? Are we filling ourselves with living bread and the water of life? You know, Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the water. If you drink of this water, you shall never thirst. So it's there for us. It's there for you today. And if we don't fill ourselves with that, we find it very difficult to share that. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. I know I'm reading a lot of verses here this morning, but I believe that we can get a lot more from that than anything I can say. Starting at Revelation 3, starting at verse 14. It's talking about the church of Laodicea here. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The sobering thing about this church is they didn't know they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And it would be interesting just to do a study on this congregation and all the churches. There's a lot there for us today. But one thing is clear is that they were self-sufficient. They didn't need help. What usually follows that attitude or approach is they don't feel like they need to help. The man on the street corner begging can just go down to the road and down the road and apply for a job. You know, I mean, I don't have any responsibility there. Maybe those right beside us are begging for help. We don't have time. Maybe those that God brought into our lives, brings into our lives, or has brought into our lives outside our own community are begging for help. And I don't mean literally begging, but if God brings them to your mind, do you heed the call? As I was thinking about this, I thought of a story I was listening to the other evening, and it's probably a lot of you have heard this story, but I thought it fits so well. A story of a man that loved to listen to the town clock chimes, and he went out to the town square one particular night to hear the clock strike 12, because he liked those 12 chimes. There happened to be another man there that night. And they struck up a conversation. And something happened that night that really puzzled him. That clock struck 13 times instead of 12. And him and the stranger both came up with the same count. His wife was sure that he hadn't counted right. But this man was sure he had. And he had someone else that also counted those strikes. Sometime later, this man woke up in the wee hours of the morning, way before daylight. As he was wrestling with himself, trying to figure out why he was awake at this time, his wife woke up, and he said, I can't sleep. I feel like I need to go out. And she said, why can't you sleep? He said, I don't know. Why do you need to go out? He said, I don't know. I just feel like I need to go out. And she said, well, if you can't sleep anyway, you just will go out. So he got up and got dressed and went to the door, stepped outside, shut the door, and somebody said, hi. And he startled, he said, returned the greeting. He said, what are you doing here? The man said, the stable keeper said, I had this feeling you're going to need your horse. I couldn't sleep. So he said, do you want your horse? He said, well, you got my horse. He said, who told you to get my horse? He said, nobody. But he said, I couldn't sleep. I just felt you might need your horse. He said, do you want your horse? And he said, yeah, bring him. So he got on his horse, and stable keeper said, where are you going to go? He said, I don't know, wherever Charlie takes me. And he just let the reins go, and the horse took off like he had a sense of direction and took off across the country, went a long ways out, finally over a big bridge and into an unfamiliar town, and he came on a citizen of that town that was out, and he asked him if anything out of the ordinary is going on in this town. And he said, he yawned. He said, doesn't really know, can't think of anything really. He said, well, there's a trial going on down at the courthouse. Excuse me. So he headed for the courthouse. Jumped off, tied his horse to the loop down on the cobblestones, and walked up to the door, asked the guard if he could go in. The guard said no. He said, session's over. Court trial's over. They're waiting on the judge to make the verdict. We can't let anybody in during this time. He said, well, I need to get in. He said, well, no, I can't let anybody in. So he went ahead and so he explained to the man the reason he was there and what all went on to get him here. And he said, please, I need to go in there. So the guard shrugged his shoulder. He said, well, if that's your story, I better let you in. Excuse me. Well, he went in, still not knowing why he was here. As he walked in, he heard the judge ask the one on trial for murder. He said, if you can't give any evidence that you weren't there at the time of the murder, I will have to sentence you. The man replied, he said, there's only one man that could testify for me. And he said, at that very time, I was standing on the town square, and he gave the name of the town. with a man that I don't know, listening to the clock strike 12. And on that particular night, it struck 13 times. I don't know, but I don't know who the man is. I don't know his name. Excuse me. The man cried out from the back, said, "Your Honor, Your Honor." And the judge jerked his head around. No one was supposed to be allowed in at this point. And he hastily went on to say, "I am that man. I was there with him when the clock struck 13 times." Well, the story ended with the innocent man being set free instead of getting a death sentence because several men heeded the call to go without knowing where they were going. A life was saved. You know, are we heeding the call? Can we hear the call if we aren't in tune with the one that's calling, the one that does the calling? You know, this was a physical life that was saved. How much more? How much more is at stake with those that he calls us to reach out to? Let's turn to John chapter 5. I have a few verses here I'd like to read yet in closing. Starting verse 24 to 31. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So here's the answer. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this hour, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So are we willing to avail ourselves and to heed the call and to share this book of joy, to share the book that will meet, that has the answers to every problem that's out there? You know, there's a lot of other good books, but there is no book that actually has the real answers and that will meet every need. The book that we don't have to worry about who we recommend it to, who we read it to. And the challenge I'd like for me and I'd like to leave with you is just to go and do. Take the opportunities that God puts in your life. I was blessed recently talking to visiting with a young couple, and he had a community couple that was asking for, that wanted to meet with him, wanted to have a Bible study. And you know, what an opportunity. You know, are we that kind of a person that the community, those around us, those that are seeking, those that are looking for that book of joy or something to fill that void in their lives, that they will reach out to us and ask us and want to find what you have? Just let's go and do. Let's spread that gospel message that book of joy to those around us. I'd like to leave that challenge with us here today. You know, the answers are there. If we don't have that to share, then let's avail ourselves. Let's dig into that, into this book of joy, and find those answers ourselves so that we can share them with others. Let's kneel together for prayer.